Hello, St. Georgians, near and far. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 33 of our Year of the Bible, adventure a priest's cassock, the black sort of thing that you wear, has 33 buttons after the number of years that John says our Lord was alive. And we are on day 33, so that's got to be significant. And it is, because I will tell you why it's significant. Because we were reading today Leviticus 16, 17, and 18. And Leviticus 16 is the center and the climax of the book of Leviticus. We've had a bunch of, you know, rules and stuff before this, and we're going to have a whole bunch of rules and stuff after this, different kind, but rules and stuff after this. But Leviticus chapter 16 is the institution of the Day of Atonement, of Yom Kippur. Once a year, the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, right, to the very presence of God, and makes expiation. And makes expiation for his people, and that's done with two goats, one that is slaughtered on the altar, and then the other that is let go into the wilderness. The ones that slaughtered on the altar is the one that purifies the altar, purifies the camp, the nation, you know, of its sins. And then the other one, the scapegoat, you press the sins of the people onto the goat, and the goat goes out into the wilderness, taking the sins of the people with him. This is a very big deal. This is what Jews celebrate as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And just a couple things, per usual, that I want to say about it. One is that, even separate. So it starts out by mentioning, the text mentions Nadab and Abihu, right? Which I think is very significant. So Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, who were priests by right, by genetic right, at least, priests by right, and who did the wrong thing. They kindled a strange fire, right? Like, whatever they were supposed to do right, they did it wrong, and it led to their death. And we didn't even talk about this on the day of, but and then their bodies polluted the sanctuary. The fact that their bodies were dead polluted the sanctuary. And as you saw, Moses had no sympathy for it. So Nadab and Abihu, I think that one of the this Day of Atonement business starts by mentioning. Did you notice that Nadab and Abihu? Seems to me that one of the things that's being said there is that, like, you can't trust the priest, right? Something that you all know intuitively, but you can't trust the priest. And what I mean by that is that you can't trust the goodness of the people, right? Lay people or priestly people. You can't trust faithful observance of the entirety of the law, right? You can't trust any of these things to provide ultimate security. The only thing that you can put your trust in is going to be God himself. And what God himself does is provides this one day of the year where all of the faults are forgiven. All of the big things, the little things, the public things, the secret things, they're all taken care of on that day, and forgiven, right? And forgiven and taken away and literally sent away. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, because what it means is that there is not, you know, sin is not something that you carry around with you forever and ever and ever, right? There is no concept of a curse, right? There's no concept, not here anyway. There's no concept of, you know, some kind of curse that you will deal with forever and ever and ever, and will never, you know, be able to come out from under it. I mentioned before people dealing with mental difficulties of one kind or another, and they talk about the damage that quote unquote forever thoughts can do, right? I am doing badly now, and I will always be doing badly, or something like that, which is not true. And so, but it's, you know, it can be hard to see. The Day of Atonement is one of those days that says no, clean slate, new day, something new is happening. And so the high priest, when he goes into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, does not wear the super fancy, all the other stuff that he wears, but wears the simple white tunic into the Holy of Holies. I can't trust the ritual. I can't truly trust the ritual. I can't put all of my trust in Fondle. All I can put my trust in is the Lord God himself and his mercy and graciousness. The Epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament is an interpretation of Leviticus 16. Sort of not just here and there, but sort of as a taken as a whole. And in it, Jesus himself is the priest. Right? Hebrews talks about, Epistle to the Hebrews talks about Jesus as the great high priest, which is a new term. He's not just the high priest, he's the great high priest who goes into the sanctuary. And then unlike most priests, in fact, all the priests, go and they make their sacrifice on the altar, but he doesn't sacrifice an animal. He sacrifices himself, both priest and victim. So before before each celebration of the Eucharist, I've mentioned before, we say these prayers of preparation, and always ends with a collect. And the one that I like a lot, mercifully regard us, O Lord, as we plead the sacrifice of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and grant that the feebleness of our intentions may be perfected in the fullness of that intention wherewith he offered himself, ready? He offered himself upon the altar of the cross, both priest and victim. It was Jesus going into the sanctuary that Jesus went to, was the cross, was not the Holy of Holies. Well, it became the Holy of Holies because of his presence there. But Jesus, the altar that Jesus went to was the cross. He was the priest that was providing the mediation, right? And he was also the offering, the sacrifice itself, which the priest brought. So both priest and victim. But this idea of atonement, there's this Day of Atonement that gets introduced here in Leviticus 16. There's this Day of Atonement that then is expanded with Jesus' own mediation for us, that it's already been accomplished. And that's what they talk about over and over again. You know, you don't have to do this cycle of sacrifices anymore, because the ultimate sacrifice by the great high priest of the perfect offering has been done already once and for all. This is a way of showing in a formal way, this Day of Atonement that's being instituted in Leviticus 16, is a way of showing, it's almost like an escape valve? Like, you know, if Leviticus is about can God and Israel live together, or like how are God and Israel going to live together? How are they going to have that kind of relationship? The Day of Atonement is sort of the thing that makes it possible. Right? Like, if God is holy and Israel is not, well, if Israel becomes unholy in the various ways that it does, how are you going to square that circle? How are you going to make that possible? And it's the same thing with us, right? If we want God to abide with us, if we want to dwell with God, how are we going to do that when God is holy and we are not? You know, how are we going to do that when, you know, God is perfect and we are not? the initiative for that reconciliation has to happen on God's side, not on our side, right? Because we are Nadab and Abihu, right? You know, we are the priests that you can't trust. We're Aaron, right? The high priest who builds the golden calf and worships it, right? Like we are they. And so it is incumbent that there be some, hold on, come here. That is incumbent that there has to be some way that we can be reconciled to God, that if we want to live together, us and God, there has to be some kind of way that we can sort of be on the same level, be in the same holiness level, at least. And we can't do that ourselves, right? There has to be an initiative taken on God's side. Like God has to be the one who forgives the sins, right? Who sort of takes away the sins, so that we can live together. Jesus said, "Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect." Well, how are we going to be perfect? Only if we're forgiven. And the Day of Atonement is this day set aside, saying all of the dross and dreck and junk and darkness and sludge that is keeping you from a relationship, a holy relationship with a holy God, is being taken away, right? That's a beautiful thing. And then, so again, you can see why, you know, the early Jewish followers of Jesus, how he slotted in so well to this idea. So the, you know, Good Friday then is the sort of ultimate Day of Atonement. It is the day that atonement, you know, eternal atonement was effected, and that holiness that we need so much was given to us by the sacrifice of the one who is both priest and victim. So it's a big deal. Leviticus 16. If you don't know anything else about Leviticus, if you don't take anything else away from it, take that. In the midst of all these codes and everything, and there's going to be more to come, there's this brilliant, sort of beautiful breakthrough of grace, right? Of sort of God's reaching out and saying, "Look, we'll wipe it all away. Okay, like, you know, come, we're going to live together. The only way we're going to be able to live together is if you're holy. And if you're going to be holy, I'm going to have to make you," God says, "I'm going to have to make you holy because you're not going to do it yourselves." It's this cycle of, you know, creation, fall, redemption. Something like the giving of the tablets, the fall of the golden calf. And then you could even say that, like, maybe this is part of that redemption. The redemption of Nadab and Abihu, right? Of their fault, of their fall. It's being brought back around. So beautiful stuff. Day of Atonement, and it looks directly, I mean, for the Christian reader of Leviticus, it looks directly towards Good Friday. It looks directly towards Good Friday. That's a beautiful thing. I don't know. I looked at this, and I sort of did a lot of reading on it, and was just really struck by it. You know, talk about Jesus became sin. Philippians 3. Jesus became sin who knew no sin. Right. He took on the sins of the world. And when the high priest walked into the sanctuary, he walked into it carrying all of Israel on his back, so to speak, right? I mean, like he carried everything. Abraham, you know, Jacob and his sort of shenanigans, Nadab and Abihu and their failures, our own failure. Like, he carried the whole Israel into the sanctuary. And when Jesus went on the cross, he carried this whole world, right? All of us, all of our faults, all of the sins, all of the evilness in the world, all of the wickedness in the world, he carried it all with him onto the cross. And there it was gotten rid of. It was taken care of, and it was wiped clean forever. So that we are, as Paul says, we are now new people in Christ. We have taken on Christ. We have taken on this new identity, this new person. We have become these new people by adoption and grace, because the atonement that happened once a year has now happened for all time in a way that sort of spreads out forward in time and backwards in time and all kinds of craziness. So that's a beautiful thing. Leviticus 16 turns out all about grace. Oh, by the way, last thing I want to say is I was reading some, what was it? That there's surprising, some like commentary or something. And I said, you know, there's a surprising number of references to Leviticus in the New Testament, something like 109 either quotations, allusions, or references. So it's important. So I'm glad, and a lot of it is to Leviticus 16. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, happy reading. See you on day 34.